The following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Iron sharpens what? We've all heard that verse. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. That's the title tonight, Iron Sharpens Iron. Let me ask you something. Why would Jesus choose among his followers Matthew, the Jewish tax collector for the Romans, and Simon the Zealot, who was opposed to everything the Romans did, felt the solution was to bring them down violently? Why would Jesus throw in the mix two personalities of such extreme difference? Wisdom there. He took men from both ends of the spectrum. He threw them together. How many of y'all have had a rock tumbler when you were a kid? You know, you don't put smooth rocks in there. You go out and get street gravel. Something about it. Throw them together, some kind of a solution in there that's got grit. And it don't happen right away. I remember I had a rock tumbler as a kid, and we left it in the garage because it tumbled. Kept going out there looking at it. About a week before things began to happen. It was amazing. I remember the street gravel, how tumbling against other street gravel brought out a hidden beauty. And old rocks, you know, got past all the surface, burnished it down, and beautiful little rocks. Now, I want you to consider that these disciples had a lot of dynamics among them. And we've looked at that recently in the Gospels. It often surfaced. Remember one time they were all tussling because they were arguing about who was the greatest? Where'd that come from? Well, they're all a bunch of egomaniacs, just like you and I were when we got saved. You know, I mean, when I first got saved, you know, this was the early 70s, and I was all about wanting to be a minister for Jesus and do things for Jesus. Remember even, I'd been saved 6 months, got me a briefcase, my Bible, a bunch of things in it. I'd walk around like I was ready to minister. Now, it turns out if you examine the disciples, just about all of them had personal differences. You know, kind of almost from every end of the spectrum. In fact, even in the New Testament churches later, you can see sparks flying. In fact, one time it necessitated apostolic intervention, Philippians 4. One time they had to call the apostle in, and that's a pretty big deal. It was so bad. This contention, maybe it was spreading. He had to draw Paul in. Came into the church of Philippi. Did all he could, apparently. And finally he said in verse 1, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord, my beloved." Watch this. "I beseech Eutychus and beseech..." I do not know how to say that word. Yeah. "That they be," what? "Of the same mind in the Lord." You know, whatever their deal was, it was a dispute in the mind, a dispute in ideas, a dispute in doctrine, who knows? But it was causing problems. Came to the apostle's attention and he had to just come right out. Imagine it was in an epistle and we're still reading it today. Got their names and everything. He says, "Be of the same mind in the Lord." See, that would necessitate somebody changing their mind. Right? What is the definition of repentance? Change your mind. See, Paul had to do this more than once. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. In fact, this time it was a whole church. You know, and to the Philippians, frankly, it was a pretty honorable church. But this time to the whole church. I'll be frank with you, if there was a dysfunctional church, it was Corinth. 1 Corinthians 1:10, now beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Look, that there be no divisions among you, but you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, same judgment. For it's been declared unto me by my brethren, by them of the house of Chloe, that they are what? Contentions among you. You know, confrontations are a part of life. A lot of people run from them. How many of y'all run from confrontations in your life? You grew up with confrontations and they weren't pretty. Maybe every confrontation you had in your home growing up was kind of full of anger. You know what I'm talking about? It's rare to find a person who grew up at home and when there was a dissension or a disagreement or a confrontation, everybody sat around the table and Dad called the meeting, said, okay, let's work this out in order and peace. Everybody has a chance to share. Is that a fairy tale? I believe it happens. But for most of us, Dad said, I said it, you do it, case closed. And if you contend with him, whap. Some people run and deny, and they internalize. They never do deal with things. You know, they just get older and they just live a life of peace, avoiding all confrontation. Avoiding all kind of people that have those sharp edges that might burnish them. That might, over time, in the grit of life, reveal what's really within. A lot of people don't want what's within without. They're scared. You know why? A lot of people don't like themselves. They don't like who they are. And they certainly don't want to be around anybody that reminds them who they are. And they don't want to get in confrontations with people that'll bring out who they are. Then you got the other kind. People that thrive on confrontation, you know. They externalize it. They're not looking for a fight. They're out to fix everybody. Anybody know about like that? Or they got to bring up every little dot and tittle. You know, no matter what it is, they're going to bring it up and expose. And it just gets, you know, there's a real balance. Bottom line, God wants us to. Well, you know, it doesn't happen in a lot of years till you get saved, usually. And often you have to live in the context of other brothers and sisters who understand that the kingdom of God is all about becoming like Jesus. Becoming like Jesus ain't some wand that a fairy godmother waves over your head. It takes time. To the degree you've been wounded, it takes time to be healed. I had a lot of wounding growing up. Had a dad that he just had a real anger streak. And he raised four boys. Just didn't quite know how to raise us genteelly. It's a lot of anger. So I grew up in my 20s and 30s scared of authority. Intimidated by authority. Scared of confrontation. It was after I started going through some real deliverance, living in the community, living intimately with people, that God graciously began to open the prison doors and let me out. Find out there's sunlight out there. You know, you only find God, you ready for this? In the context of one another. Let's not kid ourselves. This me and God thing's a real deception. God never intended Christianity to be some guru walk, you know, where you find God through personal meditation and lots of Bible study, etc., etc. Nope. Do you recall some verse somewhere where Jesus said, where two or more, there am I? There's a special manifestation of Jesus where two or more are gathered together in his name. Speaks of unity. Speaks of working out fellowship. It's a term we use around here. W-O-F. WOF. WOF it out. Work it out. Jesus told us how to do it. Said, if your brother offends you, go to who? If he doesn't hear you, what? Stuff it. Go tell your wife. Put up a wall and avoid him at church. Right? Usually that's step one. Until the wife says, you are a misery to live with. Get your butt out there and face that person and deal with that issue. So you say, okay, okay. You never do. You know, and that wall that grows between you and that person, guess what? That wall's growing between you and God. Read 1 John. He that doesn't love his brother or hates his brother is a murderer. He that, if you don't love your brother, you have no relationship with God. I'm glad I found this out early in my Christian walk. The relationship with God has everything to do with my open, intimate, horizontal relationship with my brothers. It's really difficult for me to let the sun go down on my wrath. I've tried it. How many of y'all have tried it? Just lay there and you're going to be mad. Maybe it's your spouse. I'll show them. I'll lay here and be mad all night. Can't sleep. Miserable. There. Then you listen over there snoring away. No problem with them. Look at Philippians 2:12. I like this verse. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Look at this. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God that works in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. What comes first? Isn't it working it out comes first? Then what happens? For it's God that's working in you. I submit it's difficult for God to work things in you when you haven't worked things out with your brother and sister. It really is. You're like a stopped up well. This is one law the Lord does not circumvent. You've got to love your neighbor as yourself. That's our command. And when, I've got hiccups or something. When we obey that command, it looses the Holy Ghost to go into your life and loosen the very things that cause the problem with your brother. That's why, how long do hiccups last? Did you know that God is behind that annoying person? Y'all remember the verse in Proverbs, in all thy ways, what? A lot of people acknowledge the devil and what it says. God sent that annoying person in your life. It was ordained. A lot of times they come with a big red bow. We don't recognize it. Could be somebody at work just absolutely drives you. Could be your kid, your boss, your spouse. That's a gift from God. Because he sees a particular rough edge that nobody can quite burnish down like this personality. That's why he picked him. So we say, Lord, I don't like that. Give me somebody smoother. Somebody more like me. Then the Lord says, no, you don't want that. You think this guy's bad. Give you somebody like you. Is anybody at all relating to what I'm talking about? Is this kind of esoteric, up in the air, airy-fairy stuff? No. When you start talking about relationships, hits everyone. Think about it. He that spun the stars put that gift, we call him a gift, but the red bow in your path. So he can work out what's within. You know what? As long as you buck God, fight that guy, don't humble yourself, don't recognize the true origin, guess what? You're impeding what God wants to do. In fact, it'll never happen. Let's say you just say, well, I'm going to quit this job. That guy's a jerk. So you quit it, go on unemployment, find you another job. First couple of weeks, everything's fine. Then all of a sudden, they put somebody seated right next to you. And you look at them twice, you say, man, something about them's familiar. After a while, you realize that's exactly like that dude I ran from. Am I right? You know, some people run from relationship to relationship, from spouse to spouse, from job to job, trying to find peace. I found as long as you run away, you're never going to get there. You got to run in, you know. It's okay, Jeff. We kind of like it, man. A little boogie music. You know, the real person shows out when their phone rings. You want to know what God's really after? Listen to this. But those gifts, those red bows, he's usually after what's in you that gets bugged. So we're focused on the guy or the lady that bugs us. We get all emotionally wrapped up. What is their deal? We pray for them. We fast for them. We try and pray, please change them, Lord. They've got a real issue. Never realizing the issue's not in them, it's what's in you. God's after not what bugs you in the other person, but what's in, you ready? What's in you that gets bugged. Do you know when you've been debugged, you're free? And then really, sanctification is nothing but a debugging process. Pulling out all the little wounds and hurts and thingies inside of us that react and are negative. So God's got his special gifts for each one of those. But in the long run, when you work it out, you humble yourself to Jesus, you humble yourself to the person, you come to peace, guess what? You know how you're healed? You encounter somebody like that again in the future, and you ain't bugged. And they're nuts, man. Like you got some people, they want to bug you. Trying to push your hot button. But you know, God wants to pull all that wiring out from behind that hot button. They can mash it all day long. It's like going to somebody's house pushing the doorbell. It's dead. How many of y'all want to be that way in those areas of your life? That's maturity. That's where God wants to bring you. When your brother hurts you, your first response is to turn the other cheek. Amen? To love them. To bless those that curse you. To pray for those that despitefully use you and abuse you. Those sound like pretty words. They are really hard. But over time, you know, you're maturing. When you have someone in the past would have really drove you nuts. Now, they just go off and you look at them and you go, oh, bless them, Lord. You know, bless them. Let them go bug somebody else. Help someone else. Can't touch me anymore. Another thing is, most of the time, we're reaping. A lot of time we're doing nothing but reaping. Grow up, do things. Did you know there's consequences to what you do? It could take 10, 15, 20 years. In fact, look at Matthew 7. Let me show you this in the Word. Everybody knows this. Judge not what? But with judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And whatever measure you mete out, going to be measured right back to you. A lot of times, somewhere at some point in your past, you judge somebody. It could have been mom, dad, a brother, a coach, friend, whoever judgment was made. Or maybe you gossiped and slandered. Or maybe you bound yourself with a self-inflicting vow. Where you say, I'll never, ever do that. You know, you watch your dad do something to maybe one of your brothers or sisters. You'll say, if I'm a parent, I'll never do that. You ever do that? Guess what? What happens 20 years later? You raise your hand. You're fixing to smite that young one. And suddenly you look at your hand and you go, oh my God, that's my mama's hand. I'm fixing to do just what my mama did. It's kind of got a control of you. I remember I ministered once to a young lady years ago. She was brought up under terrible child abuse by her mom, who just uncontrollably hit her. Anyway, years later, she got saved, and had kids, and I remember her coming to me and said, sometimes I just start hitting my kid, and it's like I have no control over my hands. So I asked her, did your mom ever do that to you? She said, well, yeah. I said, did you judge her for it? Did you say, I'll never do that? She thought a minute. She said, yeah. I said, there you go. You're reaping what you sowed. You meted out a judgment against your mom. It's coming back on you. That thing's a curse in your life. You know, she was able to forgive her mom. Let that thing go. We broke it off of her in the name of Jesus. It ceased to be a problem. Broke it out of her life. It was a spirit, guys. These inner vows, these things, they bring a spirit. And it can stay embedded for decades. It's just kind of waiting for you to be in this situation that it manifests. Thank God for deliverance. I wrote here, you could be reaping years later all kinds of ways in your life. Relationships with authority in your job and your finances. And lack of intimacy with your spouse or your kids. So again, God in His mercy allows you to receive the measure He meted out. Sometimes that's the only way we learn. We have to go back through the very thing we despise in someone else. Then guess what comes up? Compassion. Mercy. Then we realize, upon reflection, maybe mom had been abused. Right? Maybe mom had her own deal. And I judged her unfairly, thinking it was malicious. Maybe there was a curse on her. I wrote here, if you work these things out, they clear out. But if you stay in a defensive, resentful, victim posture, you'll keep reaping. The law of sowing and reaping is just an inviolable law of the universe. You can't stop it. And God will break that thing in you when you humble yourself. You get prayer and you recognize your need. If you're wise and can discern His hand, you ready? You'll fall on the rock and be broken. And deal with the roots and expedite the process. But if you're stubborn, willful, hanging on to your rights, fine, then live with the consequences of your initial reaping. It will not leave. Except on the power of the Holy Ghost, after forgiveness, forgiving and forgiveness, and breaking of it in the name of Jesus. And often there's a spirit. I'm telling you, there are spirits who are alive. I found demons are not at all what people think. You know, a lot of times they just, how's that go? Demons hide in the flesh and manifest through the flesh when you yield to the flesh. Say that again. They hide in the flesh. They manifest through the flesh when you yield to the flesh. So that's why we must be crucified with Christ. key to deliverance is crucifixion. You can try to cast them out all day long, but you haven't repented and dealt with the thing that opened the door. Nothing's going to happen. That's why it's so important to sit under the Word of God. The Word is sharper than a two-edged sword, right? Piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit to the joints and marrow. If they hide in the flesh and you do all that, they'll be exposed. That's what the Word does. Is it doing that for anybody tonight? One person. Well, I'm glad. Two more verses. Proverbs 22:8. Why don't you get your money's worth? I didn't want to finish a little too early here. Two more verses. 22:8. This is an interesting verse. He that sows iniquity will reap vanity. And the rod of his anger, he will be consumed. That's the margin. NIV reads, he that sows wickedness will reap trouble. And the rod of his fury be destroyed. See, God always wins. You can run, but you cannot hide. Question is, how long is it going to be till you let him in those difficult areas of your life? Those difficult areas where you've hidden so long. What I hope this teacher does tonight is show you the wisdom of iron sharpens iron. First thing is to quit despising that person that bugs you. Actually, here's the key. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give what? Except for so-and-so. That's the beginning place. Lord, thank you for putting this person in my life. Thank you. I don't understand. I don't like it. But thank you. I acknowledge you in it. You're doing something that's bigger than me. You know, the Lord would prefer you didn't reap. You don't want your kids to reap consequences. But if we'll let us reap, that's what it takes. We have a loving Father. I want to close with the bottom line. Proverbs 30:17. Again, like I referred a bit ago, a lot of this stuff is nothing more than mom and dad issues. Look at this. 30:17. The eye that mocks his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. Man, that's an ugly verse. Well, he wanted it to be ugly. He says, you know, the worst things you can do, and there's a lot in Proverbs about mistreating your parents in your heart. Despising, disobeying, mocking your dad and your mom. You know, the result is ravens and eagles. That speaks of demons. They come and you're blind. You're of narrow spiritual sight. One of the things that the fruit of that till you deal with it is you're very short-sighted spiritually. Very difficult to get a hold of the real issues. Very difficult to hear the truth because you're reaping. How do you deal with mom and dad issues? Your mom and dad may be dead. Mine are. Well, there are several ways. If they're alive, sometimes you can go back to them and humble yourself and make amends. Sometimes when they're passed on, you can forgive them. But here's the key. God's not left us without help. Because if you had a problem mocking or despising or disobeying your parents and you're reaping, God's got a wonderful solution. Right now, he has somebody in your life remind you of mom. Amen? Or you have somebody in your life remind you of dad. You see, the way God delivers, I'm not into psychology. You go back there and you probe and you dig. It's kind of an endless circle to nothing. No. When you're born again, Jesus gives a simple command. Love your neighbor as yourself. And if you will take every person in your life, determined to give thanks, recognize the Lord in them, not go into victim or resentful mode, but be diligent to go the extra mile in love and recognize the hand of the Lord in them to heal you. Guess what? Ironically, you're healing the very roots way back. Years ago, the Lord gave me an analogy of this called the fence post analogy. This is interesting. You know, if you have a deep, deep fence post, you know, and you want to get it out, you have two ways. You can go in, you can dig a really big, massive, circular pit around that fence post so that you finally expose the bottom. That's psychology. We need to get down to the roots. Or the alternative, wet the ground a little bit, take that fence post, just start working it back and forth. What happens is you work the fence post back and forth. No farmers out there? Huh? Eventually, by working the top, you're going to affect the bottom, right? You have to dig some massive pit. Just work with the top. It's going to be hard at first. May need lots of water and time. But eventually, working that thing back and forth, something finally loosens way down there. The Lord showed me, he said, that's what sanctification is. See, you can only deal with what's in your hand. I'm sorry, the past is frozen. Can't change the past. Wish you could. Can. But you can work with what's in your hand. And eventually that'll loosen. And the analogy is the bottom of the fence post. That's all those deep wounds and hurts and rejections and abuses. But as you love whoever it is in your life, go the extra mile, turn the other cheek, make it your business to humble yourself, to be meek and lowly. Eventually, God will deliver you from the roots, which often is your parental judgments. And guess what? Then, I closed it with iron sharpens iron. Then your iron can become a two-edged sword. Amen? Let's pray. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, I pray this word would go deep. Change our hearts. Change our minds. Give us hope. There is deliverance. Things that have plagued us all our lives. There is deliverance. Jesus, come, Holy Ghost. Let that word sink deep in our spirit. I get to say this after me. Jesus, forgive me for despising, resenting the people in my life that you've obviously put there. Help me from this night forward to give thanks, to acknowledge you, that you're doing something new in my life, Lord, changing my life, making me new. Oh, we bless you, Lord. Give me wisdom. He said wisdom is the principal thing.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.